We're going to be looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight and a very familiar book of the Bible, and it's the book of Jonah. And so if you will go there to the Jonah chapter 1, if you've been in church very long at all, there's no doubt you have been taught about Jonah and the whale. And some say it's a large fish, but Jesus called it a whale in the New Testament, and so it's all right to think of it as a whale. Whatever it was designed by God for a particular task. Amen. I believe that God can make the inside of a whale as nice as a Holiday Inn if he wanted to. Amen. And but it wasn't for the comfort. So it was a part of God's plan for a trial that would be in Jonah's life. And we're going to be studying some things tonight that I trust to be a help to you as we study this life of Jonah. If you would, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God together. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to be reading the first 12 verses. Okay, I do this with our people from time to time. You got to just stop for a minute and tell yourself you're in church. You're in church. There's no doubt everyone's had a struggle today facing different things, but you made it. You made it to church tonight. This is where God, if you're able to be here, this is where God would have you to be, especially as members of this church, as your church is having a revival, and we're assembled ourselves together. We're not to forsake that. So if you have an opportunity, you should not ever not desire to be in church. Amen. And forsaking is not desiring to be there, just turning away from it. But you're here, and so if you will, for that, you can pat yourself on the back. It's all right, because you did. You, that's a victory, but that's only half the battle. That's only half the victory. The other half is plug in. Plug in. Focus on what God has for you tonight, because you already defeated the devil. He's been working to try to keep you from being here tonight, but you won that victory, and now be determined to plug in to receive what God has for you tonight. Would you do that? Just remind yourself, nothing you can do that's more important right now than to just focus in on the message that God has for us. And so let's hear, read this Jonah chapter 1, the first 12 verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And then he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shalt the sea be calm. And you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again tonight. We thank you for this privilege and opportunity to be back in church. And thank you for each and every one who is here tonight that has taken advantage of their opportunity to be here, and we have assembled in your name. As being assembled here in your name, we are confident that you're here in the midst with us. And Lord, I'm confident in knowing that this is the message that you would have me to preach tonight out of this book of Jonah concerning the prophet Jonah. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would open up our hearts and minds to what you have for us and be able, with the help of your Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit, to direct us in how we would apply it, how you would have us to apply it in our lives. Empower the preaching of thy word once again, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So Jonah receives instructions from God. He's one of God's prophets. This is an assignment. This is something that Jonah should have realized as a prophet of God, that when God tells him, gives him an assignment, reveals to him there's something he wants him to do it. So verses 1 and 2, Jonah receives this instruction, this assignment. In verse 3, we find that Jonah chooses not to do what God wanted him to do. You ever done that? I think that all of us at some point have probably turned away from knowing that it's something that God would have us to do. We knew that God would have me to witness to this individual. God would have me to accomplish a certain thing or not do a certain thing. And we knew it was God's will and God's direction, but we have a free will. The one thing about humanity is God has given to us a free will. That means we choose. A free will to choose, but we don't get to choose the consequences to follow the free will. That's up to God. But we do have, when God directs us and we know there's something, especially as having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we know there's something God would have us to do, the best thing to do is to do it. Is to go ahead and realize this is instruction from God, this is an assignment of the Lord, this is what God would have me to do, or it's something that God would not have me to do, and be obedient and just do what God says to do. Jonah chooses not to do what God wanted him to do. In verse 4, we find that God begins to execute his designed plan for a trial for Jonah. Can I tell you that God controls the trials of our lives? God doesn't cause them all. There's a lot of reasons we go through certain things in our lives, but the God that we serve has to allow them. And if God allows those trials, then he has a purpose and a plan for those trials in our lives. And there's no doubt that Jonah would have brought on this trial on himself by being disobedient to the commandments of God. But then God would design a trial specifically for Jonah to do what God would have him to do. Over in the book of 1 Peter, and this is a passage that you know well, I'm sure, but let me just read that to you because this is part of the lesson we're going to learn from Jonah tonight. In 1 Peter in chapter 1, concerning the idea of trials, in verse 6, the Bible says, Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, and that word temptation is designed and it would reveal a trial, because in verse 7 it clears it up and it says that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so, if need be, that means God is the one that determines if there's a need for a trial in our lives. And if you're going in the midst of a trial, if you're in the midst of a trial right now, the thing I've often said, once I realize I'm in a trial, then I want to pray. I ask God, God, help me to learn what you have me in this trial to learn as quickly as possible so that I can come out of this trial. Amen. I know that God is in control, and whatever the reason I'm in the trial, I know God's in control of that, and there's a purpose for that trial. And so now I'm going to yield to God in the midst of the trial to learn what it is that God has me in the trial to learn as quickly as I can. And so we find here that Jonah is going to experience a trial designed by God for Jonah. In verses 5 through 12, Jonah would be asked to answer questions. He'd be asked to answer questions. God's design in the midst of this trial for Jonah to be able to understand why he's in the midst of a trial. For Jonah to understand what God has him in that trial to teach him. Verse 5 and 6, everyone on the ship was afraid. In verse 5 it says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship and the sea to lighten it, because they were knowing the ship is being filled with water. The ship is going to sink. They're going to die in this storm. And so they're all fearful of death in this storm. And so they ask everyone to call upon his God, and they cast all the wares out. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him. We need everybody praying to their gods, whatever kind of God that they serve, whatever kind of faith that they have, whatever is going to work. We need to have everybody doing their part to contact a higher power who can calm these seas, who can give us deliverance from this storm. That was their mentality of everyone on this ship. That's what the Bible is revealing to us here. And so he goes down and he understands, for whatever reason, he knows there's a man down underneath who's able to sleep in the midst of this storm when everyone else is fearful for their life. And so he goes down. The shipmaster came to him and saith unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Everyone in the ship was afraid of dying, except for Jonah. Jonah was there in the bottom of the ship and just trying to block out everything that was going on in his life. Everyone on the ship wanted to believe that there was a God. Anytime you're facing death, you want to believe that there is a God who can save you. Yeah. There was a man that was out on the cliffs and walking, and he slipped and he fell, and he went over the cliff, and underneath was, I mean, just nothing but rocks, and he would have fallen to his death, but there was a root of a tree hanging out, and he was able to grab hold of that root of the tree. But now he finds themselves over the cliff. There's no way that he's going to be able to climb back up, and he looks down and he lets go. He's going to die because of all the rocks, and he doesn't see any way out, and he cries out, if there is a God, if you're real, save me. And he hears a voice. And the voice that he hears says, I am God. Let go, and I'll catch you. And he looks down below and he sees all the rocks and looks up. Is there another God up there? When you're getting ready to die, you think, whatever, any God, any way around this, if I can be saved, but there is a true God. And we have to do it His way. Yeah. So we find here that they threw lots. And in doing this, this is somewhat superstitious, and there's a lot of different debates on why and all this, but God worked through that to be able to point to Jonah. The lots fell upon Jonah. The first question in the midst of this trial that God wants Jonah to answer is found right here in verse 8. Then said they unto him, now that they know this is the one, all of them are in agreement because of the lots that Jonah was the reason, and Jonah's God was the one in charge of this. And so Jonah's the reason that we're in this terrible storm and we're all getting ready to perish. And so they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Basically, all these questions that they're asking Jonah is, who are you? Who are you to bring this upon all of us? Who is your God? Who are you? God knew exactly what would take place with the men of that ship. He knew exactly what Jonah was going to have to face, because this was a trial designed by God. The whale is going to come a little bit later, but right now, God's design in this trial is to get Jonah to answer some questions. Who are you? Have you ever asked yourself that? As an adult, we have identification. If you drive, you have a picture ID driver's license, which tells others you passed the test. I kind of wonder how many actually did pass the test when I'm following them and they don't know how to drive. I'm thinking, where did you get your driver's license from many a times? But a driver's license, especially a picture ID, tells other people who you are. You go to the airport, they want to know who you are. They want to see some kind of identification before they let you on a plane. If you get pulled over by a police officer, he's going to want to know who you are, and you have to give him some kind of identification. Yeah. Who are you? What is your identity? Do you know who you are? In the midst of a trial, when you're facing some pretty tough things, death, cancer, divorce, whatever it might be, what kind of trial you're in, understand the first thing you got to answer is, who am I? God wanted Jonah to acknowledge who he was in the midst of this trial. Jonah answers correctly. It's kind of surprising. And Jonah answers, he said to them, I am a Hebrew, which speaks volumes. They knew the faith of the Hebrews. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea that's trying to destroy us and the dry land. Jonah, this is more for Jonah in this trial than the men on the ship. God says, I want you to be reminded, Jonah, who you are. And why you're in the trial that you're in order for you to understand why you're in the trial you're in, and for you to receive what I want you to receive in the midst of this trial, you have to realize who you are. I'm a child of God. If you're saved, you've been made alive unto God. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But once you receive Jesus Christ, you become quickened. You become alive unto God. And being alive unto God, you are adopted into the very family of a Creator God. That's who you are. Whatever you face on this earth, whatever you face in trials that you go through in this life, you got to answer that question, who are you? And once you understand and you remind yourself, I am God's son. I tell people, I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm a husband to my wife, getting close to 50 years coming up. I'm a father to my children. I'm a grandfather to my grandkids. I'm a pastor to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. But the thing that I focus on more than anything else, and I always have, I'm God's little boy. I'm 68 years old. I'm still just a little boy to God. I'm God's child. When I'm dealing with things, the thing that brings me more comfort is that I know that I serve a Creator God and I am His child. That's help in the midst of a trial. That's clarity in the midst of a trial. No matter what you're facing, if you're facing cancer, you're facing divorce, you're facing whatever it might be, remind yourself of who you are. And God is in control of everything that He doesn't cause it all, but He's in control of everything that comes into my life. He's in control of everything that can come into your life. He has a purpose for all things. Whatever He allows to come into your life, He has a purpose for it. He's a Creator God, but you're God's little girl. You're God's little boy. That'll never change. My mom had 13 children. I'm the youngest of seven boys. I'm number 11 now in the 13. I've got two younger sisters. Most of them's in glory today. But my mom told me something. She said, no matter how old you get, you'll always be my baby boy. She was right. I was the last boy. No matter how old I am, I will always be her baby boy. My God tells me, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how old you, no matter who you are to other people, you're always going to be my boy. Yeah. Jonah needed to hear that. He needed to answer that question, who are you? I'm a Christian. As a Christian, there's things you should not do and there's things that you should do. You're a Christian. You're a husband. There's things that you should not do and there's things that you should do. If you're a husband, you're married. That ought to make a difference in what you do and what you don't do. You're a wife. Don't ever forget that you are what you are. God knows who you are. He knows how He created you. You are a boy if you were born a boy, and you are a woman or a girl if you were born a girl. That comes from Almighty God. Do not allow anyone to convince you that you're anything more or different than what God made you. Who are you? I'm a male. I'm a Christian. I'm married. Yeah. Yeah. The second question that God wanted Jonah to answer. Because now Jonah is telling himself, I'm a servant of God. Now he's wondering, why am I here? I believe in God. I'm one of God's children. He's a creator of all things. He's telling them who he is. But he's reminding himself at the same time. I'm a Hebrew. Yeah. I believe in the God of creation. The second question was verse 10. After he answers it rightly. He answers it the way God wanted him to. He's reminding himself, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. He made all things. He's my heavenly Father. Then were the men exceeding afraid. Now they realize this man is connected to the Creator God. Yeah. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, the second question, why hast thou done this? Okay, now knowing who you are, why have you done what you did? Why? We need to answer this question ourselves if we find ourselves in a trial. Understand who I am. And then, why am I in this? Why did I do what led me into this trial? Why did I not serve God? Why did I not do what God told me to do? Why? Answer it, Jonah. There's been times in my life I've needed to answer that question. Why hast thou done this? Jonah had no answer to be given. You won't find Jonah giving an answer there. He knew, but it was not worth revealing. Can I tell you, there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. If you want to help somebody, You have to get to the reasons why they did what they did. There's not an excuse. You never excuse wrong doings. You never excuse sin. But if you're going to help somebody, as a pastor, I've counseled people for 40 years. And something that I have learned in counseling, there's never an excuse. I'm never going to tell somebody their sin was justified. It's never justified. But there are reasons why people do what they do. And if you're going to help the person, you have to get to the reasons why they behave the way they behave. So you can help them to overcome that. Not giving them an excuse to continue in their sins. No, to help them to face the reasons behind it and help them to overcome that. There's always reasons why people behave wrongly. Are you running from God? That's what he was doing. If you're out of church, you are running from God. It's God's will that every born-again believer be connected to a local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Membership is all about the Spirit of God planting you where God wants you to be. Somebody's out of church, they're running. If they're saved, they're running from God. They might not even realize that. If you're running from service in the church, you're running from God. God has given every part of the body a gift to fit into the body, to accomplish what the body needs for you to accomplish, the body being the church. And God brings every member into the church, and He gives them the talents and the spiritual gifts and the wherewithal to be that functioning part of that body that would allow that body to grow and allow that body to accomplish what God has that body here to accomplish. And if you're a member of the church, a part of the body, and you're not serving God in the church, you are running from God. You might not even realize it. You need to ask yourself that question. Why aren't you serving? Yeah, why aren't you serving? Some God has put a sign on out of service. And if you're out of service, can I tell you, God's going to design a trial for you to get you back in service. Jonah was running from God, and it was a sign on Jonah out of service. Don't you hate things that are out of service? When you really got to go to the bathroom and you go to a public brush and it's out of service, you're thinking, that's no help to me. Yeah. You get a low tire and you pull into a filling station with an air compressor there, and you see out of service, and you think, that's no help to me. You were designed, you were put there to be able to allow me to get some air in my tire. You were designed, you were put there to allow me to go to the bathroom when I need to go to the bathroom. Out of service. No one likes things out of a Coke machine. You can finally find a Coke and out of service. But yet, if you're not serving in the church, that's exactly what kind of sign you have on you. And God's looking at that, and He says, out of service. And God says, you're my child. I've planted you in that church. I'm going to design a trial to get you back in service. Yeah. That's Jonah. Why hast thou done this? Why are you running from God? Why are you out of service? Yeah. We ought to know why. Reasons. There's always reasons. No, never excuse. If you're going to get back in service, you have to focus on the reasons why you're not in service and overcome those reasons. Yeah. Verse 9. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. That's who you are. And He has given to you an assignment. Why are you not serving and doing what God has called you to do? The last question. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, all these mariners are thinking they're going to die in this storm. And now they know that this brought on to them because of Jonah. He's admitted to it. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee? What shall we do unto thee? In your heart, what should happen to you? If you know that you're saved, God is your Heavenly Father, Jesus is your Savior, you're a born-again believer, you're a Christian, and you know what you ought to be doing, and you understand that you're not doing what you ought to be doing, where do we go from here? What kind of expectations do you have of God? Don't expect God to leave you to yourself, even though you want to be left to yourself. Jonah says, I don't want to deal with anything. I'm going to go down to the bottom of the ship. I'm going to get as far away from others as I can get, and I'm just going to sleep. No matter what's taking place, if the storm rages, if the ship sinks, I'm going to be on the bottom of it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want anybody dealing with me. I am going to hide. Don't expect God to leave you to yourself. God will not allow His child to rebel indefinitely. Wow. Look over with me to John chapter 15. Everybody doing good tonight? We're coming to an end here. These are things, questions that God wanted Jonah to answer to get Jonah back to where he needed to be. And these very same questions we need to ask ourselves to get us back to where we need to be as well. If you're not where God wants you to be, you need to get there. And these are questions that will help you to get there. In John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Jesus presenting this to the disciples, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, that's everyone that gets saved and looks to me as their Savior. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, who's not serving me, who do not realize that you are a part of this vine. I have things for you to accomplish. I have fruit that I want you to bear. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, if he's not going to bear fruit, and God sees that you're never going to bear fruit again, he's not going to leave you here to serve the devil. He's not going to leave you here to serve the flesh. He's not going to leave you here to work against the cause of Christ. He taketh away. God was going to take Jonah's life if Jonah would not have repented. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. God does not leave us to ourselves. God says, I'm going to be very much involved in your life. You're my child. I have a will for your life. I am going to work in every area of your life to get you to accomplish what I have you on planet Earth to accomplish. And the sooner you learn that truth, the better off you're going to be. Yeah, because until you do, you're going to go through trial after trial after trial. Because God's not going to leave you to yourself because you're His child. Oftentimes, my dad would tell me, I would say, Dad, can I do certain things? No. Well, Herbert's child, the Herbert lives across the street, and his parents let him do it. Why can't I do it? He says, what's your name, son? I said, Tid. That's right. You're my child. You'll do what I want you to do. I'm going to raise you. That's what God has given me to do, is to raise you. You're not somebody else's child. You're my child. I will determine what you're able, what I want you to do, what you're not able to do. Amen. God's telling us, you're my child. I'm not going to let you live like a lost man for indefinitely. You might rebel, you might backslide a little bit, but I'm going to bring a conviction into your heart and life. I'm going to chasten you, and I'm going to get you to turn around. If ever the point comes where I see that you're never going to turn around, I will not leave you on this earth. I will take your life. He very clearly revealed that to me when I was running from the ministry. I should have been dead. But in the midst of that, God spoke to me and said, I could have taken your life. Serve me. Serve me. I knew it was directed to me. If I had not have committed to my life to ministry, I would have died a long time ago. Wow. God will not allow his child to rebel indefinitely. Yeah. So what is your expectation? Don't expect God to leave you to yourself. That's not going to happen if you're saved. Now, if you can go out there and have fun in unrighteousness, and you can go out there and live in sin without conviction and chastisement, you're not saved. Go ahead and do, you're not saved. You can't do that and be saved. The Spirit of God dwelling in, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to bring conviction, and with that conviction will bring chastisement, and with that chastisement will bring trials to get you to turn back to your Heavenly Father. That's just Bible. Yeah. So, what shall we do unto thee? Don't expect for all things to work out for good. Sometimes we read Romans 8:28 and we lose sight of that promise. For those who are called and those who love the Lord, you're doing what God would, all things will work out for good, but not in your rebellion. That's not saying you can go out and live in sin and everything's going to work out for good. No, that's not what God tells us. Yeah. Satan will get a victory when we run from God. Satan will get a victory, and not only in our lives, but in many other lives. Satan would love, and he works through backslidden believers quite often to discourage other people from getting saved and to discourage other people from serving God. Don't allow yourself to be used that way. What's your expectations from God in the midst of the trial? The whole ship would have sunk and all of those on board would have died if Jonah would have continued to run from God. Go back with me and we're going to close here. What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And this is what Jonah said. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. I don't deserve to live. Jonah started on his understanding that I failed God. I don't deserve to live. Cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. How many have been negatively affected by our rebellion? Yeah. Jonah's expectation, he gave up on himself. He said, God, just take my life. Praise God for these three questions that we've just studied. Because these three questions led to Jonah's second chance to obey God's word. It led Jonah to be cast over the ship, and he thought it was over. He thought his life was done. It was over. And God said, no, not quite that easy. He prepared for the end of this trial, the last stage of this trial. God personally prepared a great fish. Call the whale or great fish, whatever. He prepared it. And when Jonah thought he was going to drown in the ocean where they threw Jonah over, God had that trial. God had that prepared fish to swallow up Jonah. And in the midst of the bowels of that belly of the well, Jonah finally repents, confesses, and rededicates his life to go into Nineveh. and preaching the gospel. Listen to me. Ask yourself those questions. And then look for God to give you a second chance to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. Commit to it.